Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you, here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, as we're rolling through OTAs here in the springtime, got another chance late in the week to get some interviews in the locker room after practice. And one guy who's had, I guess you'd say, a different sort of offseason, Pro Bowl safety HaHa Clinton Dix, spent a little time back in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, going to class.
He did, Mike.
What'd you find out about his offseason?
Yeah, it's really interesting because you look at the NFL right now, and it's not unusual for guys to go back to school. You and I were talking about before the show. I mean, Randall Cobb did it. Casey Hayward did it. Guys wanted to finish up their degrees. But I think it's just interesting when you look at the season that HaHa Clinton Dix had. I mean, it was his breakthrough year. First Pro Bowl that he got to play in Orlando, his hometown, got an All-Pro nod. Also, on top of all that, tied for the league among safeties and interceptions with five.
Right.
But once it was all said and done, I mean, he was getting back in the classroom. He went back to school, had two classes at Alabama, working towards his degree in criminal justice. This was important for him. This is something that goes back to him and his mom, him and Nick Saban, the understanding that, okay, you're going to go out, you're going to do what's best for you and your future, but at the same time, remember that there is a college degree waiting for you once it's done, in a life that's going to be waiting for you once your career is over. And I think that's something that Clinton Dix is really cognizant of.
Yeah, now, criminal justice, an interesting choice. Did you get any indication from him? And now we know there's a lot of football left for HaHa Clinton Dix here. But is he the kind of guy who's going to want to wear a badge when he's done with football? What's your sense there?
I think it's interesting to see where it takes him. Is that the biggest thing? I mean, he did say, I mean, first and foremost, it's about football right now. That's what he's always kind of strived for. That's what he's been working towards, you know, going back to when he was in high school. But, you know, he's going to have an internship coming up this upcoming summer in the Brown County Circuit Court system, working with one of the judges there. He isn't really sure what that's going to entail or what it's going to be about. He's going to sit down with them after the year and figure out what he's going to be on, you know, kind of following. But the biggest thing is he said, you know, whether it's the stats classes he was taking or just anything, understanding the universe of ideas a little bit and where education can take you, he said he really does think differently, critically, you know, through this process and in trying to kind of make the world a better place a little bit in whatever way he can. That's something I think that's really admirable. When you look at, you know, this day and age and where things are at, the difference that he's attempting to make, it can go a long way, especially now with the notoriety and really the place he has in that locker room. I mean, HaHa Clinton Dix is a fast-rising star in this league.
Yeah, and safety coach, his position coach, Darren Perry, commended him very much for the decision to go back to school and to continue working towards that degree. He's had to miss some of the off-season workouts and some of this time here in the spring. But his own position coach says, hey, you know, that's well worth it. Football is just here as a placeholder in your life until you move on to other things. And you know, if Darren Perry had his way, you know, a lot of these guys who don't necessarily graduate before they come into the NFL, he'd like to see even more of them do what Clinton Dix is working on.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And you look at Clinton Dix too. I mean, that's really you talk about a guy that's setting himself up professionally with the NFL and still going out of his way to make sure that he has that education on the back end. Not everybody's HaHa Clinton Dix. I mean, it's not just in the cornerback's room or the safety's room in the NFL. I mean, there's guys that are going to be in the league for 1-2 years, and then they're on to the next phase of life. So it is important to keep that in mind that, yeah, this is a great opportunity. It's a great chance to set yourself up for life if everything goes according to plan. But at the same time, there is another 40, 50, 60 years down the line that you have to plan for and understanding what you need to do to get to retirement, to be able to live a happy, successful life. And Ricky Jean Francois had a chance to talk with him a little bit too this past week, and understanding it was something that was really, you know, stapled into him at an early age when he got in the NFL with the guys like Justin Smith, telling him that, yeah, it's great to get the paychecks, but
yeah,
it's all about withdrawals and deposits, and you always want to make sure that there's more deposits going in. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, definitely. With Clinton Dix, we've talked about his leadership and how that is developing. We hear the cliches all the time, you know, a vocal leader, a leader by example. We've heard from coaches and teammates that Clinton Dix is taking on a little bit more of a vocal role as a leader on this team. And then when you combine what he's doing off the field with going back to class, that's definitely a lead by example type of thing. So you can see him really trying to, you know, become more of that all-encompassing leader, taking lots of different approaches as a guy to look up to in that locker room.
Yeah, and he said it best. I mean, he is who he is. He's not going to try to be somebody he isn't, but he understands at the same time that there are ways that he can reach out. There's ways that he can help. You look at a guy like Josh Jones coming in here, a young man that when he was at NC State spent a lot of time watching HaHa Clinton Dix's film, and now getting a chance to interact with him on a daily basis in that classroom, on the football field. That's a valuable opportunity, and I think Clinton Dix learned that in a really valuable way from Morgan Burnett when he came into the league, and
definitely
being able to pass that on to the younger guys. He's very aware now, based on the Pro Bowl, based on the All-Pro nod, of where he stands and how people are going to look towards him now as that mentor, and I think he's really accepting of that opportunity as well.
Yeah, well, with that, we'll go to a break, Wes, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, as we continue to keep up with the news here during Packers OTAs, a roster move of somewhat significant proportions as the month of June commenced, the Packers release punter Jacob Shum. Sounds like he had gotten injured during off-season workouts, and we don't know necessarily the details of all of those injuries or what went into that. But the Packers deciding to move on, and right now the only punter on the roster is an undrafted rookie from Miami named Justin Vogel, and we'll see how things go here through the rest of OTAs into training camp, what the Packers do at the position, how Vogel performs. But on the surface, all you can really say is, boy, an opportunity of a lifetime for a young kid to break into this league.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is what you look for. If you're an undrafted free agent, lining up your potential landing spots to be in June and be the only punter on the roster, more than what you could ever ask for. And now we'll have to see how things play out. We've seen in the past, you know, specialists, and I remember Tim Mastey always talked about this. There really isn't a big playbook, you know, for punters, kickers, and long snappers. You know what your job responsibility is, and you know that even if there isn't somebody on the roster, you're always competing with the rest of the league. Because as we saw last year, Jacob Shum comes in as a waiver claim during the final week of training camp,
right,
ends up being the punter for 19 games. So the universe and in the life of a specialist can change instantly. But for Vogel, you have to deal with what's in front of you right now. And right now, that is that he's the only punter on the Packers roster. Now, the thing about Shum, he was a little bit stockier, a little bit, you know, well-built player. Vogel's more in the traditional size range of what you expect from a punter, 6'4", 220. I mean, he looks the part, but we really haven't had a chance to see him punt yet in practice based on how they've allotted these public ones. So it's going to take some time here. We'll see exactly how he adapts to this lifestyle, but certainly a golden opportunity for him to really seize this summer.
Yeah, just to give some background on Vogel, took a little while for him to get noticed in college. Actually went originally to the University of Florida, took a redshirt year, then in his second year, didn't really get a chance to get on the field, was on the bench pretty much that whole year, decided to transfer to Miami, go there as a walk-on so that he could play right away, and suddenly became a punter, ended up holding the job for 3 years. His average, his gross average yards per punt, anywhere from the 42 to 43 plus range over those 3 years. I think statistically, if you were to point to one thing that stands out the most about him from his college career, is that in 2016, last year, he was second team all ACC as a punter. 33 of his 64 punts were fair caught by the returner. That's more than 50%. When you're able to do that, I mean, obviously that speaks to hang time, I think, probably more than anything. And we've seen it in the NFL. The punting game these days can be as much about eliminating the other team's return game,
right,
as it is about anything else. And maybe that's where Vogel can try to make his mark here as a young guy.
Yeah, gross average is great. I mean, obviously you need to be able to hit the ball. There's no question about that. But it's also the positioning of it and looking at those net yardage. Now, one thing the Packers have really stressed over the last 2 years is the positioning, trying to work it towards the sidelines, trying to be able to, you know, move the punt returner towards the gunners. and find ways to maximize those opportunities. I don't know exactly the placement and what the accuracy is like for Vogel. Those are things we'll get a sense for this summer.
Right.
But when you do look at the fair catches, particularly in college, where you're not always going to have a Jeff Janis type player just getting down and you know being able to force a guy into that, it probably does speak to the fact that he was able to have some pretty good booming punts. And Ron Zook gave us a small preview of him. Again, he's not going to go out there and say this guy's going to be a 10-year NFL vet. But he did say he has the tools you look for. He has the leg. He has the mindset for the position. And he's doing everything he can this time of the year to learn exactly what the Packers expect out of him. So that is going to be something interesting. With every specialist, seeing what that transition is like going from college level to the pros, it is a huge jump, a monumental jump, and there's only so many guys that do it, and Vogel's going to have a chance to show what he can do.
Yeah, and he talked to reporters yesterday. I was amidst the group there that was asking him some questions, and you know, really, he has to look at it as, you know, he doesn't know how the situation is going to play out. You know, anything could change along the way. His goal right now is to do whatever he can to prove to the Packers that they don't need to bring in somebody else. Now, he doesn't necessarily have complete control over that decision. We'll see by the time we get to training camp if there is competition head-to-head within camp. But I'm with you in terms of this jump from college to the pros as a specialist. I don't really know if we're going to find out a lot about Justin Vogel, frankly, until we get to that first preseason game. When the lights are on, they're bright. It's another team on the other side. You're not just punting against your own guys rushing at you in practice. It becomes a completely different ball game, and that's when we'll find out if a young guy like Vogel has what it takes.
There is that innate factor to consider with specialists, you know, how they handle those pressure pack situations. You see it a lot with kickers. You know, a guy can have the best leg in the world, but if he doesn't have the disposition for it, it's not going to work out. But even with punters, understanding that, okay, this is an instance where I need to get this ball inside the 10-yard line. My defense needs it. And we'll see exactly how, you know, Vogel reacts to those situations once that time comes.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we'll go to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz over there. Wes, we also heard after Thursday's OTA practice from the defensive assistant coaches, and one of the news conferences I think that stood out the most was when Joe Witt, the cornerbacks coach, went to the podium. I thought he had some very, very interesting and poignant things to say about veteran cornerback Devon House, who is now back and working with Witt again after spending 2 years in Jacksonville. And I think the thing that stood out to me the most about what Witt said about House, a player he knows very, very well, is that now, even after Devon House has been in the NFL for 6 years, Joe Witt still sees more untapped potential. That Devon House, as a seventh-year guy now in the NFL, is still not necessarily a finished product. He feels there's more he can get out of him. Devon House still has another step to take, and that's a potentially exciting thing for this Packers defense.
Yeah, Witt said he sees the potential for him to be special. You know, in maybe, you know, you look at the Charles Woodsons of the world, that's pretty high up there. But, I mean, the Tremont Williams and you know, Sam Shields and Casey Hayward, the guys that have had success, the guys who have been Pro Bowlers in this league, that's in Devon House when Joe Witt looks at him on paper and was incredibly excited to get him back in Green Bay when they did. Now, he did make no bones about it. Last year didn't go according to plan for House. There are things that he has to bounce back from,
right,
showing that he can be a starting caliber perimeter boundary cornerback in this league. But what's interesting, listening to him talk, is that how much the leadership aspect he has taken on. He was unequivocal. He said Devon House is our leader in that room, and that's powerful considering none of those cornerbacks in there right now were in Green Bay when Devon House left. They all came afterwards. So
good
for
point.
Him to step up and, you know, go to the team hotel and spend time with the rookies and help them with their playbook and studying and understanding the system, that goes a long way. Because in 2011, it was Charles Woodson that was passing on that knowledge to Devon House. It was Tremont Williams. It was Jared Bush. That's a big thing, and that's a big database that you can mine if you're the Packers. And I think one of the biggest benefits House gives them now that he's back in Green Bay.
Yeah, and Joe Witt, we always like hearing him talk at the podium. He doesn't mince words at all. And what I really liked about what he had to say, because he was asked very pointed questions about Demaryius Randle and Quentin Rollins and how their second seasons did not go as planned. And Joe Witt was very upfront about it. He said, hey, the injuries that those guys went through, you know, requiring surgeries either in season or after the season, those injuries were legitimate. What those guys were dealing with was tough. It was a tough row to hoe. But at the same time, he says, hey, there are no get out of jail free cards for how we played last year. The unit, the pass defense was not up to the standard that the Packers expect from their defense. And Joe Witt is one of those guys who is going to grind, and he's going to do whatever it takes to get his guys. Now, he doesn't have control over the health aspect right. of it, but he's going to grind and do whatever it takes to get his guys back to the level that he feels they should be playing at.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you want a perfect example. We talk so much about Davante Adams, but even look at, you know, Casey Hayward. And, you know, in the injuries he bounced back from early on with having the hamstring and coming back to contribute the way he did.
Right.
He then goes on to San Diego last year and becomes a Pro Bowler. The thing is, you can't get too high or too low. You have to understand what guys have in potential, what they have in makeup, and how you can best capitalize on that. And I think when he looks at Demaryius Randle, when he looks at Quentin Rollins, Joe Witt still sees it. He still sees exactly what the Packers saw 2 years ago. And yeah, they have to play better. Everybody understands that. He was upfront and honest with the fact that, okay, in 2015, I think it was, in his metrics, the Packers had the third best pass defense in the league. And he said, last year it was 27th. Those are things that he's out there with. He's not going to sugarcoat anything, and he's not going to point towards the good and not address things that didn't go right. So
right.
for his perspective now, you do bring in Devon House. You do eventually have Kevin King once he gets here, and you have these three young cornerbacks, including Ladarius Gunter, to potentially contribute. I don't look at this so much as a situation of the Packers need to find starters. They need to find five or six guys that could potentially play big roles throughout the course of the year in case those injuries happen again, in case something comes out of the blue, because that's really, at the end of the day, what happened in 2016. There was so many injuries, just a litany of things that happened
yeah.
that I don't know if you could have prepared for in week one.
Yeah, and that's what the NFL is about. That's what the kind of stuff that happens. And Witt talked about, you know, what happened with Ladarius Gunter. He admitted towards the end of the season he had to throw him into situations that weren't necessarily great for Gunter, but it was what the team needed. It was what they had to do. And he gave a lot of credit to Gunter for fighting through those situations and saying, hey, if it weren't for what Gunter did and what Micah Hyde did in a pinch with what the secondary was dealing with, the Packers wouldn't have gotten to the NFC Championship game in 2016. That being said, he feels obviously Gunter is better for having gone through those very, very difficult experiences, but then he can also be a better player if he's not forced into things that are outside of his comfort zone in 2016 if you have a larger, deeper group.
Absolutely, and you look at Gunter and House. I even said this last year, I still see a lot of parallels between their games. I mean, they are tall, lengthy, strong press man cornerbacks, and I think Gunter in the long run will be better for what happened last year. Yeah, I don't think the Packers drew it up having him covering Julio Jones at the beginning of the 2016 season, but that's what the situation called for. And really, the thing that impressed me the most about his year, when you go back and look at it, is the fact that were there times where he got beat? No question.
Yeah.
But he always stayed in there. It wasn't a case with Gunter of next man up. In many cases, it was the last guy left.
He just had to keep fighting.
He had to keep fighting.
Yeah. All right. With that, Wes, we're going to throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. Wes, final segment today. Looking at a young pass rusher here for the Packers, a lot is going to be asked potentially of Kyler Fackrell, third-round draft pick from last year out of Utah State. He spoke with reporters on Thursday. He's back about 10 pounds heavier now, having done a lot of work in the offseason workouts. Feels like he's bigger, stronger, doesn't feel like he's had to sacrifice any speed to put on a little bit of extra muscle. And the expectations, I don't know if I want to say expectations, but the Packers are going to be counting on him as one of those rotational guys, next men up behind Clay Matthews and Nick Perry, because as we talked about with the cornerbacks, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And you look at Nick Perry, you look at Clay Matthews, even if those guys play every single game this season, all 19 or 20 games that are asked of them, they still are going to need a rotation. You have to be able to work in different combinations. I think one of the strengths of that pass rush in recent years was the fact that you did have Julius Peppers available. You saw the way that they conditioned him and really tapered him throughout the course of last year. You had Dayton Jones. You had Mike Neal. I mean, you had different guys that you could work in there. The one thing that's interesting about the Packers situation now is they might not have the proven depth that they did before, but I think the Packers feel confident about what they do have coming back. You have a guy like Jaron Elliott who has flashed a lot of potential, but was often one of the guys that was kind of buried on that depth chart. And then a guy like Kyler Fackrell, a guy that came in as a third round pick, 6'5", he looks the part, now puts on the 10 pounds. A lot of guys talk about putting on weight and they talk about being able to bulk up during the offseason. You mentioned it to me. I thought it was a great observation. Before Kyler Fackrell even said anything about it, you can tell he looks physically stronger.
Yeah, and he came in as a draft pick last year with the frame and the body type. You look at him and you say, that's a guy who can get bigger as a young NFL player. And he flashed as well last year as a rookie. Mike McCarthy told us at the Combine, he was really starting to come on when a hamstring injury hit, and Fackrell mentioned to reporters that he takes that part on himself, that he needs to take care of his body better. The long season wore on him. He wore down. He got tired. And that's something that young players learn in this league as they move along.
It's tough to be a rookie, especially when you're preparing all offseason to get ready for a regular season. Fackrell did really show some nice potential, though. He showed those instincts. He comes from a 3-4 base defense in college. And I think when the Packers look at that transition, it's something that he should be able to really seamlessly move into in 2017.
I would say so as well. With that, Wes, we will sign off on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter. You can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next time.